right, how many of you guys have been enjoying this God Never Said That series, right? I've been liking it. Of course, I'm doing it, so hopefully I like it, right? It's one of those things that we hear the Word of God used all the time in kind of an inappropriate manner, right? We think that it's good. It sounds really good, right? A lot of the scriptures sound very good, and the principles sound really solid, but honestly, that's not the way that it truly is. And we've gone over God just wants you to be happy, and that's not a true statement. That's not a true statement. Now, does he want us to be happy? Yes, he does, but there are certain times he doesn't. And we went over that, so that's the first couple of weeks. And so the last week we talked about God won't give you more than you can handle. That comes from the scripture. There is no temptation that is overtaking you, which that's just common to man. But God, you know, there will always be a way of escape in the midst of our temptations. But how many of you know temptations and the situations that we're in are two separate things? Right? The temptation that comes out of the situation is how we react to it. That's maybe the temptation of the situation. But the situations, we are always put in spots that we are incapable of handling, like sin, right? Sin, we can't overcome it in our lives. We go through it. It's there, according to Scripture. And the whole principle behind the good news is that we need a Savior, right? We can't do it. Amen? So, go back and check out last week. This week we're going to talk about it doesn't matter what you do. And we're going to talk about sin a little bit today. And that's always a fun topic. How many of you know it's really, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'm going to read a scripture that we come through and where this whole kind of series comes out, the premise behind it. And it's 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. How many of you know we look for advice and different things that help us with our agenda a lot of times in our life, right? Just if we're being honest. That, how do we know that? Because we'll go to this person and tell them our issue and our problem, and they won't quite tell us what we want to hear. So we'll go to this person and kind of tell them, and then we go to this person, and then we start hanging out with this person a lot more because they tell us what we want to hear about that situation, right? We tend to do that, whether we realize it or not. And according to the scripture, there's going to be a lot of theology, a lot of Bible, a lot of preaching and teaching that's going to sound pretty good. But when we actually look at it, that's why I tell you guys all the time, regardless of who's saying it, whether it's me or John or Aaron or Christopher, or whether you're getting it from TV or from the internet, the interweb, especially, get in the word and find it, right? Make sure that that's what it's saying before you take it and put it and put it as gospel in your life. Amen. We're going to talk about sin and what really is sin? According to scripture is to know right and not do it, right? That's what the scripture tells us. That sin is to know the right thing and not do it. We talk about sin. We say, what is a sin? It's like, well, if you do this and this and this and this, then it's a sin. Well, that's not technically what the scripture says. Is that right to do or wrong to do? Well, it's wrong. Okay, well then if you do it, okay, I can see how that could be sin, right? Because we already know what's right and what's wrong. How many of you know a lot of it's built in our minds already, even before we know the list of do's and don'ts? Again, case in point, look at little kids. Don't covet. I want that. You got it? I want it. I don't care if it's mine or not. I want it. And then I get it, and then I don't want it. I just don't want you to have it, right? That's how little kids work, right? Give me that. I'm going to take it because I want it. Well, you hit me, so I'm going to hit you, right? That's a lot of those are contrary to what the scripture says, but it's built inside of us already, right? Right? Okay, good. I'm glad you're here. We look at what the Bible talks about and how their culture handled sin and different things. And they were all about justice. Right? If you look in the Word of God, an eye for an eye, he did this and this needs to happen. If you did this, then you commit adultery, then you're stoned. If you do this, then this happens. If you do this, then this happens. And their culture was centered around justice, judgment, right? We look at our society today as completely different, and it's about tolerance. Our society is about tolerance, and that's the way we look at different things. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. Not scriptures, definitions. The definitions of justice is a just behavior or treatment, the quality of being fair or reasonable, or the administration of the law or authority. Tolerance is this. Tolerance is the ability or willingness to tolerate something, in particular, the existence of an opinion or behavior that does not necessarily agree with mine. Right? Now, is tolerance a wrong thing? No. Is judgment a wrong thing? No. How many of you know a lot of these things that we have in our lives are not wrong? It's the way that we use them that's wrong. Right? It's the way that we use them is wrong. We look around and we see tolerance building up against what the Word of God calls sin. Let me show you what I mean, an example of it. Like 20 years ago, pornography was a sin. Today, it's called adult entertainment, right? See how we change it from what it was to what we call it now. So if you call it the other one now, you're wrong. You're in a bad place, but the other one's okay. It used to be called adultery. Now they just had an affair, right? You see where I'm going with what's happening? The progression of how it is. It was premarital sex, and now it's just fooling around, right? Everybody does it. It's just how it works, right? You know why the number of divorces is down? Because nobody's getting married, right? They're just all living together and finding out whether I like it or not, and then splitting up. And so the divorce rate is down, but it's same. Okay. It's hard. I know you guys are not with me today. Is it because of the topic? Is it because of the topic? Maybe I should change up a little bit and go a little lighter. I don't know. I want us to understand that sin is real in our lives and in around us and in society. And it does have serious earthly consequences, but it also has possibly damning eternal consequences, right? We need to understand that it is a real thing, that we do battle with it, that it is around us. And we're going to talk about sin a little bit. I'm going to read you this one scripture, Luke 12, 4 and 5. It says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you of whom you shall fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. How many of you know we look at the wrong place as to what we need to see where our standards lie in our life? We look to the wrong authority to see where our lives should line up, how we should act, the things that we should do. And we're going to talk about a couple of cultural misbeliefs about sin, right? You guys ready? We'll move on from that, and we'll go to another one. One of the things that you hear a lot of time about when you talk about heaven, about hell, about eternity, about what's going on, you hear, especially at certain times, but you hear, well, I'm not a bad person, so I believe God will accept me in, right? According to Scripture, that's not how it actually works. Because let me put this in front of you. Let's think about this. What is a bad person? What's the definition of a bad person? How do I tell who a bad person is from a good person? Maybe I'm just an average person. I'm not good or I'm not bad, right? How does it all work? We have different thoughts and ideas and logics as to what it is. I'm going to read you a scripture. How many of you would think Paul was a good person? How many of you are not voting? So you all think Paul is a bad person, right? Is that where I'm getting by the vote? How many of you think Paul was a good person? Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? He was a good person. This is how Paul sees himself. And when we start to think about our lives in the same manner as far as good and bad and what it is, maybe this will help us out a little bit. You ready? This is not in your notes, so you're going to have to write it down because I just added it like 5 minutes ago, maybe six. But 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So we see him and we see that if anybody lived a holy life according to the biblical standards and to what we think as being holy, it was Paul, right? And Paul's sitting there saying, I'm the worst one of all of you guys, right? I am the chief sinner when it comes to it. Paul talks about it in another place, how there's something that buffers him. We talked about that last week, right? That there's something that's there that makes me not be prideful, because I understand I still mess up, right? That's what he's saying. And if we're gonna look at being a good person or a bad person, there's different ideas and thought processes about what good and bad is. I'm gonna share something with you, and I found this while I was looking on the internet. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was kind of funny, actually. And I want you to, by this statement, if this is how we determine who is good and who is bad, I want you to at the end of it, you're gonna have to vote. All right, y'all gonna have to vote. This is how it works, right? This is called the shopping cart theory. How many of you have ever heard of the shopping cart theory? Good. Nobody, or you're not voting. The shopping cart is the ultimate litmus test for whether a person is capable of self-governing. All right? To return the shopping cart is an easy, convenient task, and one which we all recognize is correct. How many of you know you should put your shopping cart back, right? It's the appropriate thing to do. So to return the shopping cart is objectively right. There's no situation other than dire emergency in which a person is not able to return their shopping cart. Simultaneously, it is not illegal to abandon your shopping cart. Therefore, the shopping cart presents itself as an apex example of whether a person will do what is right without being forced to do it. Right? I just lost my point because I looked up. No one will punish you for not returning your shopping cart. They might look at you mean, especially the cart guy, but they're not. No one will fine you or kill you for not returning your shopping cart. Therefore, you gain nothing by returning your shopping cart. You must return the shopping cart out of the goodness of your own heart. You must return the shopping cart because it's the right thing to do and because it's correct. So a person who is unable to do it is no better than an animal or an absolute savage who can only be made to do what is right by threatening them with law and force that stands behind it. The law and the force that stands behind it. So a shopping cart determines whether you are a good person or a bad person as a member of society. How many of you, by this definition, are a horrible person in society, right? How many of you leave your shopping cart just right where it says? I was reading the comments behind it, and you know what? Who was commenting on it mostly? The guys who get the shopping carts. He's like, look, they won't take their shopping cart, but they'll go out of their way to prop it up on top of something so it won't roll away, which takes just as much time and energy as putting it in a thing, right? So, again, I'm not a bad person. What's the definition of a bad person? How do you determine what a good person or a bad person is? See, it's not about being good or bad when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to being in God's presence. It's not about good or bad. It's about what? Sin in our lives. Not just sin, but unrepented sin, unforgiven sin. Amen? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. When I first got saved, it's funny that we talk about this right now, but when I first got saved, I got a cassette tape. A cassette tape from Ray Comfort. How many of you know who Ray Comfort is? He hung out with Kirk Cameron for a while. They had this whole thing, and his whole thought process was sharing the gospel with people. How's a good way to share a gospel with people? Because if you go up to somebody and you say, John, you need a savior, and be like, I'm not in trouble. Like, what do I need saving from? Right? I mean, I'm not in danger. But how many of you know, if you put it in the right context and you think about it, when you talk about how sin has an issue, like, how many of you would be really mad if somebody ran and just pushed you down? You'd be really ticked. Unless you found out that they pushed you down out of the way of a car that was about to hit you. Then you'd be really, really grateful, right? So in saying that, when we think about good, bad, when we think about how to share the gospel with people, when we think about these things, an easy way to do it is to ask somebody about. So if we're going to put the Ten Commandments as the list of what makes you godly or not godly, right? Or a sinner or not a sinner, right? If you take those and you ask somebody, hey, have you ever told a lie? Ever? Have you ever told a lie? If we were to raise our hands, I guarantee you that if we're not lying, everyone in here would say there is one point or another in my life that I have told a lie. Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? But if I walk up to you and I say, Shane, you're a liar. Like, how are you going to talk to me like that? I'm not, well, have you ever lied? Like, well, yes, that constitutes you as being a liar, right? Now, Shane's character is not a liar, right? But I'm sure at one point or another, he's done it, right? I'm sure at one point or another, I've taken something that didn't belong to me. Like the stuff in the refrigerator at home that's not mine, it's my kids, but I'm going to go ahead and eat it, right? How many of you? Oh. I ain't going to ask how many of y'all took something out of the work refrigerator and ate something. But anyway, we'll just go on. We'll just move along quickly, right? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever had wrong thoughts about a person? Have you ever done those things? By definition, you are not a good person, right? If we hold those standards. If we look to what God says, a good person and a bad person, it's not about good and bad. I can be a good person to people around me and do the most vile, wicked things in my life, right? I can. Because a lot of times we see the scripture, we go on down. You know what? I'm going to wait on that one. I'm going to come back. We need to understand what Romans 3:10 says. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. We all have to have a Savior. We all are not good. And again, going back to what I said earlier, until you see yourself as a sinner, you'll have no need of a Savior. You won't understand that you need a Savior. And this is one of the things that I think we battle with, is because I've said a prayer, because I've given my life to Christ, that I don't battle with sin and that it's still not a part of my life. Now, Scripture does talk about how we're dead to sin, how we don't have to be affected by it in our life. But if we're honest, I'm honest. You don't have to be honest. I'm going to be honest. I battle with it at times in my life daily as to what I am to do now, because I want to do these things, but those things aren't right. You're not supposed to punch people in the line at Walmart. You're not, right? It wasn't Walmart. It was a different store. But it's one of those things, right? You're not supposed to want to do those things. You're not supposed to want to tell man, regardless of whether it hurts them or not, I should always tell the truth, right? I should. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all can put all the blame on me right now. I should always tell the truth, no matter, even if it hurts the other person. I always need to be truthful, correct? I always need to try and do what's right, correct? There's not a time that I can steal something and it be okay. Y'all getting really quiet. Maybe next week we'll just talk about, I don't know, something else. We probably will talk about something else, so there you go. Until I come to the realization and will admit I need a Savior, I can't ever be saved. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to keep going. Y'all ready? This is number two in your notes. Number one in your notes is all sin, or I'm not a bad person. Number two, and I'm guilty of saying the same thing. I said it a couple of weeks ago, and that wasn't until I started reading and studying this that I was like, man, you said that. You said that. Why did you say that? Well, because sometimes we want to think certain things. All sin is the same. That's a cultural misbelief. All sin is not the same. There are differences in it. And I actually called my dad the other day because I was like, Dad, all sin is the same in God's eyes. But this is what the scripture says. In 1 Peter, it talks about how there is a sin that is unto death and a sin that is not unto death. Right? Look it up. 1 Peter. I'm not going to tell you where at in 1 Peter. That way you have to read the whole thing. By the way, who read 6, 7, and 8 last week of Judges? Okay, good. 1 Peter this week. It says it in there, right? It says it in there that sins are different. How many of you know there are sins that are different? It's not all the same. Now, all sin keeps us out of God's presence, but there are different consequences and different things that come into our life because of sin being a part of our life, right? One of the first things we talk about, And this is something that I'm researching and looking into as to what the unpardonable sin is. There is a place in the scripture where it says there's an unpardonable sin. What it says is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I understand that. What does that actually mean? This is just a thought process. I'm studying through that right now to understand exactly what it is. Because how many of you know, sometimes we don't all know it all. We like to pretend sometimes, but we don't all know it all, right? I like to tell my wife I know everything, but it doesn't work. I don't actually do it, right? What does that mean? Scripture says, we also read in the scripture that you're not to judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. For with what measure you use, it will be given back to you, right? Is Jesus telling us that we're never to judge another person? Or we're never to judge anything? No, it's not. What the issue there is saying what you're doing is worse than what I'm doing, right? The sin that you have in your life is worse than the sin I have in my life. It ends up putting us in the same position where the publican and the sinner are standing in the temple, and one of them saying, God, thank you, I'm not jacked up like that guy over there. That's Toby translation. I'm not jacked up like that guy over there. And that guy over there saying, forgive me, God, because I'm messed up. Who went away changed that day? The problem is that we look at sin and we try to put it on a scale saying, well, it's not as bad, so this is not as bad. Now, it's still bad, but it does have different consequences and different issues. The Bible doesn't teach that all sin is the same. Unforgiven sin leads to eternal death. Scripture, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? How many of you know if I'm driving in traffic and I get really, 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 really mad, and I tell him he's number one, and I shoot him my finger, I don't do that. But if I did, how many of you know that would be completely different than pulling out a gun and shooting him? Right? Well, it's both sin, it's both wrong, so it's exactly the same. No, it's not. There's different consequences, there's different things. Sin works that same way. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible doesn't teach us that. See, this is what happens. Sin in our life, or how we live in our life, influences a couple of different things. You guys ready? First of all, the consequences that we have here on earth. Right? Sin changes things for our lives on earth. The way that I treat my wife, if I do things behind my wife's back that I shouldn't do, that I'm not supposed to do, that changes my wife and I's relationship, right? Forever. My kids, the way I treat my kids, the way I teach them certain things, has consequences in their life, right? Good and bad, it can be either or. The way we do things gives us consequences on earth. It matters, influences it. The other thing that the scripture tells us about the way we live our life is that we have rewards in heaven. There are rewards in heaven. Store up your treasures in heaven. What's the treasure? Is a reward, right? Or why would we store it? Right? Make sense? I mean, you guys are, you guys need to listen better because I'm preaching really good right now, right? I'm just playing. We have rewards in heaven. That means the things we do here, good, bad, changes things for us after this life. The other thing that it says, and it says in different scriptures, and again, there's doctrine today that says there's no hell and there's not, but it also changes the punishment that we have in hell, according to scripture. There's places that you can find it if you look. Right, look for it. You'll find it. I will say this too, and it kind of goes against what I'm going to say in a few minutes. But if you put it in the right context, it doesn't. Ignorance is not an excuse to not do right. Right, ignorance is not an excuse to not do right in God's eyes as well as man's eyes. Right, well, if I'm speeding, I'm going 45, and it's a 20. And he pulls me over and like, well, I didn't see the sign. He's like, oh, my bad, you're ignorant. Let me let you go, right? That's not what he said. Like, well, it's posted, and you should have known better, regardless, right? That's how we handle it on earth. But, again, ignorance is not an excuse. we look at it again. Other consequences, other things. So if I steal a $6 pair of running shorts, that's a crime. And I can get arrested. I can have issues. I can pay fines. I can do different things, right? That's bad. But how many of you know if I get behind the wheel of a car impaired and I kill someone, how many of you know that's a crime too? And we'll look at the one who did that way worse than the one that stole a $6 pair of shorts. Why is sin different? Why is sin different? Technically, it's not. I'm going to move along quickly. Luke 20, 46 and 47 says, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greeting in the marketplace and the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at feasts, but who devour widows' houses for the pretense and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive a greater condemnation." So you say there won't be different levels once you get there. It says right here, they'll receive a greater condemnation, right? What is that saying in that scripture? These are people that are acting holy and doing the exact opposite behind everybody's back. That's the true definition of a hypocrite, correct? Right? We all do some hypocritical things, just to be honest. If you be honest with yourself, we all do some hypocritical things, but it's different than living that life, amen? Doing it on purpose. Now again, ignorance isn't an excuse, but at the same time, we need to understand what sin does in our life, how we need to stay away from it. John 19, 11. These are a couple of different places in the scripture where it shows the different levels. Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." Well, how is there a greater sin if there's not levels to it? That came from Jesus, correct? Yeah. Then we look at the thought process, well, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, then it's okay. I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't hurt other people. But how many of you know, regardless of whether you think it hurts other people, it technically does. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 6:18, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but sexual immorality, a sexually immoral person sins against his own body." So does it matter what I do? Does it matter the sin? If I have sin in my life, if I continue in sin? Yes, it does. Not just because of other people seeing you. That's what we use. And that's what I say a lot of times, man. Other people see that in your life and it brings them away from God. True statement. But do you know what's more important than other people seeing that and it bringing them away from God? It's taking you from God. It's taking you away from where you need to be. Amen? Then the third misconception is, since I've already done it, I might as well keep on doing it. Right? I mean, okay, y'all gonna laugh at this. So y'all know I've been on a diet and I've been kind of plant-based. I fall down every now and then. But yesterday, I'm just gonna be honest, I came to men's breakfast and that bacon and eggs and sausage gravy that Dave made with the biscuits, man, it was really good. It smelled really good. And so I'm sure it tasted really good. And so I ate it. And then yesterday, around lunchtime, my wife's like, "Hey, I have this for you, and we're going to eat this." I'm like, "Well, I want that." She's like, "But yeah, it's not on your thing." I was like, "I already went for it this morning. Why stop now, right?" And then last night for dinner, we said, "I've already gone this far. I'm all in. Just keep going," right? Unfortunately, that's a funny one, but unfortunately, that's what we do with sin in our lives. Well, I've already done this. I've already gone this far with it. I've already been to there, and I've already done it, so why do I stop? Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can he who died still live in it?" See, when we come to Christ, when we give our lives to Christ, one thing that we need to remember is that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. What does the Holy Spirit do? It leads us and guides us in all truth, right? According to Scripture. It shows us the direction that we should go. It shows us the things that we should do. And we all want to be spiritually mature. You know, just like a kid wants to be an adult. Well, I'm grown. I'm going to do what I want. You're 12. Stop. You know, you're 10. Quit. Be a kid, right? Quit. Just where you're at. Stop trying to do more than you can do right this moment. But how many of you know we as Christians, we all want to be spiritually mature, right? When somebody starts talking about, I was thinking about this the other day. I was around a couple of people, and I know several of them, and there was a newer person in. And how many of you know you're known by your fruit? Like, within a little while, you can kind of tell usually where somebody's spiritual walk is with God, with their conversation. At least for me, before they figure out that I'm a pastor, I can see where they're at. Then I figure out they're a pastor, and it all changes, right? John, you've had that happen before, yeah? Like, their whole countenance changes, man. They're like, oh, yeah, I go to church. I have a relationship. Okay. All right. I'm not judging them. I'm not judging them. They, you know what? We all are in different places in our walk with God, right? But as soon as a conversation starts up, we all want to show how educated we are and how much we know about a certain situation. Not just the Word of God, but other things, right? I want you to have this statement. I want you to think about this statement. And it's a true statement. And this is one of the ones that hit me the hardest when I was putting all this together. Because I put my name in where I say most Christians. But I'm going to say most Christians are educated well beyond their level of obedience. Most of us don't need to know more. We need to put into action what we do know already. Most of us don't need to get in the Word and get deep, so deep into all these different things and learn about this word and that word and what that one actually meant. We need to, first of all, now there's nothing wrong with doing that. Right? We need the Word of God inside of us. We all need to grow and to do those things. But how many of you know there's some things that need to happen in our lives and some change that needs to happen and some things that need to be a part of it before we worry about what's going to happen to me in the book of Revelations? Right? Is it important to know the book of Revelations? Yeah. Me and my kids, we're reading through it. We're on like chapter 4 on our nightly reads, right? We skipped a couple nights. I was lazy last night, right? I was studying. So, We're in Romans, or Revelations chapter 4. We're going through it. Is it important to know what's in there? Yes. Is it more important to know what's in Revelations than to act right in my life? Just a thought. See, because this is the thing. This is my idea. This is an opinion of mine. But most miserable people in the world are not non-Christians. They're Christians who are living in sin. It's the most miserable people in the world. Because you're not miserable doing these things, right? When I was in the world, I wasn't miserable doing them. It was actually kind of fun, right? Now, the consequences behind them was not, and I learned that later, and sometimes in the middle of it. But the most miserable people in the world are the people that are doing things they know they shouldn't be doing, and they're worried about what the consequences are going to be, and they're worried about everybody finding out, and they're worried about these different things. And they're not free from sin at that moment. They're held captive by it. How many of you understand that the Scripture says we don't have to be held captive by it? We can't be free from it. Amen? We know the standards of God, but we continue to reject the will, the way, and the purpose of God in our lives. And how many of you know sin is progressive? It grows, and it grows best in the dark. That's why he says, confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. Right? That's what that scripture says. Confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. Why? I've talked about it before with us, is accountability. If I have no accountability and I keep these things hidden, guess what? They're going to get bigger. If I have accountability, I have John, I have Shane, I have Nick, I have Christopher, I have other guys in my life saying, hey, man, how are you doing with this situation? I know you're struggling with this.
How are you doing? I'm going to have to answer them. And because I've given these guys places in my life to speak into my life, I'm not going to lie to them. Why? Because I need accountability. Sometimes we need to be careful. Again, you need to be careful. Remember the guys on the fishing boat? One had a problem with drinking. One had a problem with gambling. The other had a problem with gossip and couldn't wait to get off the boat. Remember that whole scenario? You need to be careful who you tell what you're going through to. Somebody trustworthy. I mean, I wouldn't put it all out on Facebook. Man, I have a problem with this, y'all. Just, wow, that's going to be fun, right? Woof, here it comes. Well, I like to share everything. There you go. Have fun. But again, sin is progressive and it grows best in the dark. And this is another thing about sin, man. Is sin takes you further than you want to go and costs you more than you want to pay. Always. I got that from my pastor in Louisiana. I don't know where he got it from, but I'm giving him credit. Sin always takes you further than you want to go and costs you more than you want to pay. It hurts God. It hurts people around us. It hurts you. Sin kills intimacy with God. It dulls God's voice in our life, Scripture says. The more we allow sin to just take root and to hold and to keep going and growing and growing and growing, and we start to ignore the Holy Spirit speaking to us about those different things. How many of you know sometimes that voice gets smaller and smaller and smaller? My dad preached a message one time about the blush being gone. It's in the Scripture. Look it up if you want. Like, the things that are vile and wicked and evil have no effect on me because I'm kind of immune to it right now because I've been around it for so much. Right? Problem is it hardens our heart is what it does. It hardens our heart to our situation, to others, to different things. So now, are you guys ready for the good news? You guys been kind of quiet. Hopefully you get loud on these ones. I mean, I'm just saying. The good news is this, is that Jesus is a friend of sinners. And that Jesus died for sinners. He died for me. He died for you. And you say, well, I'm too far gone, or I've done this, or you don't understand. I do understand. It doesn't matter. That's what I understand. It doesn't matter. You can always come back to him. You can always turn to him. You can always accept the gift. And I'm going to go back to the scripture that I read last week, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What does that mean? That I don't have to give into it. That I can get through this without sin being a part of my situation, being a part of my life. How do I do that? Only because of Jesus. Only because of his grace. Only because of what he paid for us. 1 John 1:8-9. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We don't need to say, I don't have any sin. Remember, I told you guys that about sickness, right? About healing. There's a lot of people that, and I understand that what they're thinking and what they're saying, but I hear it and see it in a different way. I'm not saying they're wrong and I'm right. Please, this is not how it works. How many of you know? Not all of us get it right all the time, right? Amen? But I see it this way. How can God heal me of something that I don't have? Right? Well, I'm not taking that report. I'm not going to say that I have this going on in my life. Well, how can God heal you from it then? Again, that's my perspective on it. There's other perspectives. But blind Bartimaeus didn't say, oh, I'm good, Jesus. Just let me come hang out with you for a little while. He said, what do you want me to do? He says, I'm blind and I need to see. And what happened? Healing came. Do you know what happened? He admitted right where he was at and admitted without Jesus, he can't get where he needs to be. Don't allow holiness in your life to keep you from where you need to be. Don't allow the appearance of holiness in front of others in your life to keep you from where you need to be. Understand that we have issues, and we can only get through those issues if God helps us. Only get through those issues if God helps us. And how do we show God our love? How do we show God our love? It's a statement, and again, it gets some people riled up about it, because we are free. How many of you were free? We are free to live our lives. We're free to choose. We are free. And Paul says, there's nothing to sin to me. Everything's available to me, but not everything's expedient for the cross of Christ. Right? That's what he says. But in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says this. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do the right things. You will see this book. You will see the things that in there he said for us to do and us to not do. And if we truly love him, we will do those things. Same way with the principle, if I truly love my wife, then I'm going to do things that's going to honor her and take care of her. Not because she put down a list of rules and regulations that says, you can't do this. There's only one thing my wife told me I can't do. She said I can't grow my hair back out like I did that one time because I end up looking like Chun Li. I'm just telling y'all. I'm just telling y'all. That's the one thing she says, you cannot do. I'm like, okay. Y'all, some of y'all are going to look up Chun Li. What is he? Oh, yeah. That's what y'all are going to say. But that's the one thing my wife says I cannot do, right? And she would let me if I really wanted to, but she's trying to help me save. I mean, some laws, some commandments are there just to save us, not for other people. It's just, I'm going to save you some humiliation, man. Don't do it, right? It's just bad all around if you do those things. I don't do those things because I love my wife. Same principle with why I want to follow the guidelines that he set forward in his word, not because I want to earn his forgiveness, because he's already given it to me, right? But it's because I want to stay as close to him as I possibly can. That's the whole reason why. And that's a way that I can show him. Aaron, you can come on up. That's one way I can show him, I love you. By keeping sin out of my life, by doing everything I can to be obedient to him, to his word, to show him, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you've given me. How many of you love having a second chance in life? Right? I told you guys before, I'm gonna tell the story one more time. I told you guys before how I lost trust with my wife, right? Be like, oh, it's not crazy. Right? But my buddy Trevor had this table, right? He had this table. And I really wanted it. It was a desk. It was really nice. He said, man, I'll give it to you for $100. And April's like, no, we're not doing that. We don't need a table. We ain't got nowhere to put it. We don't need that desk. We don't need it. Okay? I was like, okay. All right. And so at that time I did windows. And we would get a trailer full of aluminum. Y'all are going to understand in a minute. We get a trailer full of aluminum, and about once a month we turn it in, and maybe once every 6 weeks we turn it in, and it'd be about $1,200 worth of money that came back, and we split it down the middle, and he got half and I got half. And I said, listen, bro, I said, I'll tell you what, the next time we get aluminum, I'll just give you $100 of mine, because we don't know how much is going to come in. She won't ever know, right? Dummy. She won't ever know. And I'll have the desk, right? And so Trevor jumps in his truck and he's on his way over with the desk. He's going to drop it off at my house. And he texts me and says, bro, I'm on the way over. I'm like, okay. And you know how sometimes when you're texting somebody on the phone and a text comes in and you read it and you just text them back and it goes to the last person you text, not that person. So I text Trevor and I said, Trev, I said, don't tell April I'm paying you $100 for this table.
sinned. About 30 seconds, like the only time she got her phone in her hand, right? 30 seconds later, she comes walking down the hallway. She's like, what is this? I'm like, that's your phone. She's like, no, what is this on my phone that says, don't tell April I'm paying you $100 for this table? I'm dumb. So I said immediately, well, that's just my way of telling you I'm paying $100 for this table. You know, that's a dumb situation. It's one that could have and should have been avoided. But do you know how long it took me to build trust back up with my wife? A long time. See, trust is one of those things that's sometimes easily given at first, so easy to destroy, and sometimes feels impossible to build back up. The one thing that we forget in His Word, because we feel dirty because of the things that we've done, even after we've asked Him forgiveness for it. And the reason why, in my opinion, the reason why is because we view the way God looks at us the same way that other people look at us. And we fail to understand that He says that when we ask for forgiveness, He takes our sin and puts it as far as the east is from the west, which means it just continues to go. Right? It's like light. He said, let there be light, and it's still traveling, right? According to science, it's still going, right? Our sin is doing the same thing. We need to understand and let the condemnation that goes from the sin we had in our past go, and understand that because we've done it in the past doesn't mean that we can keep doing it and it'd be okay, right? Also, that God is upset with us and always looking for that in our lives. Maybe that'll be helpful and easier for you to let it go, understanding that God has said, I've forgiven you, it's gone. Let's move on, right? It may be for nobody but for me that I said just what I said, but I need you to understand and know that when we get forgiveness from God, when we allow the sin to be gone, He takes it from us and we don't have to live in it anymore. Doesn't mean that it won't try to come back and get us. Doesn't mean that situations won't come back up in our life to allow us to go right back to the place that we already came from. But Scripture tells us that we don't have to go. That we don't have to go. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? How many of you, be honest? You have a relationship with God. You love God. You know that He's forgiven you for things. But right now, you're battling and struggling with sin in your life. And you're ready to let it go. You want it to be gone. Won't you be honest? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. That's you. You need to let some stuff go. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask you one more thing. Some of you have sinned in your past and you've given it to God, but you're still allowing that memory, that reminder to be there in your life, and you want freedom from it. You want to give it to Him this morning. That condemnation that you're holding on to, just put your hand up. I want to get rid of that. Put it up. Put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, right now, and you know our hearts. Whether we raised our hand or not, man, you know our hearts. You know what we're struggling with. We know what we're battling with. You know the things that we need to let go. And I ask that you would help us now see, first of all, help us now to place it at your feet and to leave it there, Father, to not pick it up. Holy Spirit, give us the strength
the self-control to be able to walk through these things and have them come into our life again and us not even be tempted by it, God. I ask that you would help us with that now. And I also ask that you would give us peace in our hearts over our past, over the issues that we've had, that your word says that we are a new creation. And just because it bothered us in the past doesn't mean it has to bother us in the future. We can give it to you when it comes back. When it comes and says, hey, here I am, you could say, hey, that's not me anymore. You need to go someplace else. I'm new in Christ. And he gives me the strength to walk through and to not have to worry about you coming into my life. And I thank you for that. Allow us to feel your peace that comes from that. And when it starts to come back up, the condemnation starts to come back, allow us to understand that it doesn't belong to us. We've given it to you to take care of, and it's still traveling. It's still traveling. I thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Sin doesn't have to be a part of your life. It does matter what we do. So this is what I want to challenge you to do this week. I want you to go out these doors and love everybody you can get your hands on, right? I want you to share his love, grace, and mercy. I want you to show people the joy that God has put in your life, not by telling them, but by showing them the way that you live. Amen? I'm going to do something really quick. I'm going to say some announcements. Don't forget, Dr. Steve's home group, if you're a part of it, Waves, ladies, on the 27th. We got food pantry this week. If you want to be a part of it, please pray for the food to come. And don't forget, the sign-up sheets are on the table as soon as you go out where the donuts were this morning. Please sign up and get ready to bring some stuff, invite some people. And with that, I want you to stand up. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to go out of here. We're going to spend just a few minutes in his presence first. We're just going to enjoy him. Amen?